The Satya Nadella comment this week is one of those moments where a CEO says out loud what many in the industry have been thinking quietly. He called AI labs hypocritical for opposing model distillation, the practice of training a smaller model on the outputs of a larger one, because those same labs trained their foundational models on massive data sets of publicly available text, including copyrighted material, creative work, and code written by humans who were never compensated or asked. The argument is, you can't build on the commons and then object when others build on your outputs.
It's a structurally interesting argument, and Nadella isn't wrong about the logical tension. But I'd push back slightly on the framing, because there's a difference between scraping publicly available data on the open web and specifically targeting a competitor's proprietary model outputs to replicate their capabilities. One is building from a shared resource, the other is directly free-riding on a competitor's investment. The legal distinction may be murky, but the commercial grievance is real.
This connects to what Nadella separately called the reverse information paradox, echoing Palantir CEO Alex Karp's critique. The argument is that AI systems are generating so much information and so many outputs that the ability to extract genuine signal to know what's actually true and useful is becoming harder, not easier. We're drowning in AI-generated content in a way that paradoxically reduces our ability to navigate reality. It's a genuine epistemological concern from two very different CEOs who are both deeply embedded in AI development.
The Naus Research fundraise is worth understanding in context. Hermes is an open-source agent platform, meaning the underlying models and code are publicly available, and Naus Research is raising at least $75 million at a $1.5 billion valuation, roughly 15 months after a $1 billion Series A. That's a significant step up in valuation for an open-source AI company, which challenges the assumption that you can't build a high-value business on open foundations. The thesis is that open-source models plus proprietary agent infrastructure and services can command premium valuations.
The MIT detection method for AI models trained on child abuse imagery is both a technical breakthrough and a necessary one. The Gaussian probing technique, which analyzes internal model representations rather than generating any harmful outputs, achieves 100% accuracy in identifying CSAM-specialized models. This matters because the proliferation of fine-tuning tools means bad actors can take a base model and specialize it for harmful purposes. And law enforcement has struggled to develop detection methods that don't require generating illegal material in the process. MIT's approach solves that constraint elegantly.
And then the xAI Grok Build CLI story is a serious developer security incident. Grok Build is xAI's command line interface for developers building with the Grok model, and researchers found it was uploading full code repositories, including secrets like API keys, database credentials, and private configuration files, to xAI's cloud infrastructure without clear disclosure to users. That's not a minor privacy footnote. Developers trust CLI tools to operate locally by default. When a tool silently exfiltrates your secrets to a third-party server, it's a fundamental breach of that expectation.
I want to add a quick curriculum corner here, because the xAI and AI lab competitive dynamics actually touch on antitrust territory that's worth understanding. When we talk about Nadella's distillation argument or the power dynamics between OpenAI, Anthropic, Google DeepMind, and xAI, antitrust law becomes relevant. The Sherman Act of 1890, which is still the foundational U.S. antitrust statute, prohibits monopolization and attempts to monopolize. But here's what's crucial and often misunderstood. Having a large market share is not itself illegal. What's illegal is acquiring or maintaining a monopoly through exclusionary conduct, meaning practices that harm competition rather than just reflecting superior performance. So when AI labs oppose distillation, the antitrust question is whether that opposition translates into exclusionary behavior, like lobbying for regulations that only incumbents can comply with, or using contract terms that prevent customers from using competing products. Market share alone doesn't make something anti-monopoly. You could have 80% of the AI inference market and be perfectly legal, as long as you got there by building better products. The legal threshold requires both dominance and conduct that preserves that dominance through means other than merit. That distinction is why most antitrust cases in tech are so hard to litigate. Proving the conduct element is genuinely difficult.
That's a really useful frame for understanding why the FTC's historical cases against Microsoft in the 1990s were so complicated, and why modern AI antitrust scrutiny is going to be even harder. The market is moving faster than regulators can define the relevant market, let alone assess conduct within it.
Anthropic and OpenAI, both loosening restrictions on their top models, also fits this competitive picture. When you loosen content policies or capability limits, you're responding to developer and enterprise demand for more flexibility. But you're also responding to competitive pressure. If one lab tightens while another loosens, enterprise customers migrate toward flexibility. It's a race dynamic, and the safety implications are real, which is what makes Nadella's reverse information paradox framing feel timely.